in the valley, bright as a morning star. Amen, amen, amen.
Hey,
hey,
hey!
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know about that. That's all right.
Thank you.
Sermon on Sunday when I saw him on Wednesday, which I was like, my scripture is 2 Corinthians 3:18.
There you go.
That's what I had. And y'all don't know how awesome Phil is, and how God works, because I always get confirmation on Sunday, because he, of course, got me my thought of the week and my affirmation, and they are in line. So, yeah, the song Lily in the Valley has been in my spirit for, I don't know, weeks. So, yeah, I encourage you, little things that don't make sense, just hold on to them, because later on, they might be useful.
That's right. That's right.
As I started looking at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, which, like I said, I don't know where the scripture came from. I just had. Of course, I read the whole thing, and then I researched the background of what's going on with this scripture. So you have an insert in your bulletin that's the whole third chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'm usually not for y'all long, so hope this doesn't change anything. So this is pretty much one of the letters that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And not sure who was delivered by, but we pretty much believe Timothy delivered this letter to them. Okay? And Paul starts the chapter saying, and it's verses, I'll read it through for y'all. Verses, I'll give it 1-6. It says, and this is a Message version. It's my favorite version. It makes it plain for me. Does it sound like we're patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? Well, we're not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement, either to you or from you. You yourselves are all the endorsement we need. Your very lives are a letter to anyone who can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into the human lives, and we publish it. 4-6 goes, we couldn't be more sure of ourselves than this, that you, written by Christ himself for God, and are our letter of recommendation. We wouldn't think of writing this kind of letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out the new plan of action. The plan wasn't written out with ink or paper, with pages and pages of legal footnotes, killing your spirit. It's written with spirit, on spirit. His life on our lives.
Amen.
So I love this because Paul starts out by saying, I don't have papers and endorsements to tell you I am who I am or who Jesus is, who the Spirit of God is. You all, the people of Corinth, are proof of all of these things. He's saying Jesus gave us a mission from God, and that's what we're out here doing, the work. And no one has to write letters telling you how the Spirit of the Lord's working, because you and they can see the change in your lives.
Yes.
And reading the chapter, I need y'all to be aware that the New Testament had not been written yet.
That's right.
So this movement toward the Spirit of the living God and having a personal relationship with God hasn't been written. So if someone needs a reference, they should look at the change in people's lives as proof of what the Spirit of God looks like. I don't know if y'all noticed, this was the earliest mention of the unity effect in the Bible. And it's still not a tangible thing. You can tell people and you can write about what the Spirit of God is and what it's doing in your life. But do people see it when you move about our everyday life? In North Philly, where I was born and raised, we have a saying that says, real recognize real. And what that means is people always do a lot of talking. But their actions tell you the truth about who they are.
That's right.
So when you're moving through your life, do people know that you are the lily in the valley? The light in dark places, the positive force, and the face of negative.
Right.
When people meet me, it doesn't take long for them to realize two things. I'm hood, and I love the Lord.
Amen.
When people meet you, do they know that you'll fight for those who aren't evil? Do they know that you're an advocate for social justice? Do they know that you love the Lord? Do they know you by your works? And do you know you have joy in your soul? Do they know that? Like my minister says, do you walk it like you talk it?
That's right. That's right.
And I know the old covenant that it talks about here, that people had with God, you had to try to be some perfect version of yourself. But this new covenant, this new testament, just wants you to let the Spirit of the Lord work through you.
There you go.
With your human perfect imperfectness.
That's right.
Right?
Wow. Verse 7. I'm going to take this off. In verse 7, it says the government of death. And government is like triggering for me. All things I hear government is triggering for me. So we want to replace that with whatever you want. Also, I want to tell you, I printed this out because this is how God gave me to interpret this word.
That's right.
But it may not necessarily be what you interpret the word as or what you get out of this word. So I said, right. Encourage you, take it with you and read over it. Because for me, this is like liberation theology on paper.
All right.
So I absolutely encourage that. So verse 7 through 8 says, the government of death, its constitution chiseled on stone tablets, had a dazzling inaugural. Moses' face, as he delivered the tablets, was so bright that day, even though it would fade soon enough, that the people of Israel could no more look right at him than stare into the sun. How much more dazzling then is the government of the living spirit. Yes. Yeah, he starts to discuss really in depth this old covenant with God and the new covenant, and I feel like he was being Bible shady. But he describes it. He talks about the old teachings as dull compared to the brightness of the new gospel teachings. The teachings of Moses have faded away and no one notices. And I feel like when I go into non-liberated churches, I don't go into non-liberated churches, so to be realistic, I feel like when I watch them online on TV, and when I hear old rhetoric about, you know, filthy rags and condemnation, I feel like they never found the New Testament.
Come on.
They completely ignored the part about having life more abundantly.
Come on, now.
And they never got the memo about the two great commandments.
That's right.
You know, love God first, love your neighbor.
That's
and
right.
You love yourself.
That's right.
Like, that's where I'm at with my life, the New Testament.
Hey!
I don't know if I was alive during the time where Jesus was walking on water and having miracles happen. I might have had to ask my rabbi, you know, about what the book said, because you couldn't read it directly. If you were a woman, you wouldn't see it.
That's true.
Okay. So I was trying Sad to ask my true. Rabbi about what the book said about the Messiah. And when I saw that Jesus checked out all the boxes, I might have been like, this might work. See, I don't know if you knew Paul was strategic with his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He hit all big cities. and gathering places in order for the teachings to trickle out.
That's right.
Because everybody's going to come, the information is going to go out.
That's right.
So I would have seen this new gospel and the changes it was making in people's lives firsthand. At that point, I would have been like, okay, I'm in it to win it, because this looks good.
All right.
And that's why I don't understand. But I say some people, because not us people. Some other Christians. They don't understand this New Testament thing. The new teachings that enlighten and enrich our lives, things that give us forgiveness, grace and mercy.
And freedom.
I tell people all the time, look, God, sometimes bad things happen. God doesn't cause these bad things to happen, but God will always send you grace and mercy.
That's right. He
always sends you grace and mercy. That's New Testament. I like being picked up by the New Testament and not torn down. Paul said, the government of condemnation is old and it doesn't apply to my life. I know it doesn't apply to your life.
That's right.
It doesn't. That's not who you are. I know that the one who created you wants you to be affirmed in your existence.
Amen. That's huge.
There, and I'm going to borrow from my brother preacher. If God is affirming your existence, there's no man, no woman,
that's
no
right.
person, no priest, no rabbi, no preacher, no partner, no family member, and certainly no book. And don't let them tell you I'm right.
That's right.
You and your God affirm exactly who you are.
That's right.
Because they created us.
That's right.
I always hear Bishop Jones talking about the veil that Christ removed, but he's so prolific that half of what he says I don't understand, and the other half it takes me like 6 months to really get through. But for me, this is where that thing, the veil, is kind of explained to me in this chapter. When we remove the veil and allow ourselves to see and know God for ourselves, not as God has been dictated to us.
Amen. Say that.
Say that again.
That's all right.
Ooh, that's good. That's been dictated to us.
Right.
The things we're supposed to do, we're supposed to believe, and supposed to see. When we take off that veil and choose to learn about God for ourselves. That's why I always tell, I say this over and over again, your guess is your guess. And if you don't know what that means, God may not have called you. To be sitting up there.
Okay.
God may not have called you to sit over there. God may not have called you to sit here every single Sunday. God may call you to do some other work. Like
that's
in
right.
The field.
That's right.
With the people you are being an LPN for. Might called you for that.
That's right.
God might have called you to call somebody out on the carpet and say, that's not right.
Yes. Yes.
You know, your guess is your guess. and it comes from your direct relationship with God and nobody else's.
Right.
Especially since now we know we can have one, which is important.
Yes.
The veil has been removed, and that's why Jesus came to earth and he died.
Yeah.
If you don't know my theology, I struggle a lot around the theology of Jesus Christ. I have faith in God all day, every day.
Okay.
But I wasn't there specifically for Jesus Christ. I wasn't sitting there with him. I didn't see him
walk
on water. I didn't see these miracles. So I thank God for moving me in a direction where at Unity, you know why you believe what you believe.
That's right. That's right.
And in this journey, God has taken me along Jesus Christ's route. I'm affirming for myself what I believe and why I believe it.
Amen.
And I encourage everybody to do that.
Amen.
I mean, we all have the things that we grew up with, the beliefs, the teachings, the practices, the ceremony, the pomp and circumstance. These things that we grew up with because we all been church. But I encourage you to know why you do what you do.
Amen.
Why you do what you wear. I was on Facebook and rarely on there, but I saw this post, and it's always the same post about this girl wearing a real formal dress. She looked like she went to prom, but she in church. And they say, you know, what do you say? What would you say if you saw her in church? I'd be like, glad to see you. I'm glad you're here.
That's right. That's
right. It's down to what you wear. Don't let it dictate. I told Marcus I wouldn't come to no church if I could wear jeans and t-shirt. And that's for me, that was why I left a lot of old churches, because they look at you sideways. Wearing what you're supposed to. Like, denim wasn't even around back then. Okay. So I'm pretty sure Jesus wasn't talking about that.
Amen.
Be strong in your convictions, because these are things that you have learned for yourself by your personal relationship with God.
Come on now.
The thing that only you have. Nobody can tell you how to worship. Nobody can tell you how many times to put it. Can't nobody tell you anything about your relationship with God.
That's right.
It's based on your service, your yes.
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 Because also along the line of yes, you won't learn no.
That's right.
Come on. And sometimes it's just a no. Absolutely. Know why you do what you do.
Amen.
Scripture goes on today. I think I skipped around a little bit, but I think I covered most of it.
It's all
right. Amen.
Let me go to the back, because 16 and 18 was really where I got my life. It says, whenever though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. Then they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence. Not a piece of chiseled stone.
That's right.
Or a Gucci bag.
That's right.
Or these pews. Not even your pastor.
That's right.
God is God.
That's right.
And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old and constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete.
Yeah.
It don't matter no more. It's no good anymore. We passed that.
Yes.
We're free of it. All of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. The unity effect, hashtag unity effect.
That's right.
Right.
I said if I could sum it up in the scripture, I sum it up in this scripture. When you allow God to work through your life, you know, when I pray, I always say, God, I am. Thank you, God. Great I am that I am.
That's right.
That I am.
Ah.
And I am because God is. Okay. Because God is. It's I am that I am that I am.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the Father of one, such as you and the Father of one. I need y'all to understand this correctly. Because it took a long time. My theology, and I say this a lot, but it's my theology was, I'm not going to ask for God for nothing. God won't ask me for nothing. That was my theology. I didn't understand that I am worthy, just like you are worthy.
Yes.
To talk directly to God. God wants to hear from you. You hear that term, bless the Lord, which I was like, how do we bless God? God is God. When you give your praises to God, it blesses God. It does. It blesses God. Like, if you, I created these little people. You think I don't appreciate when they're like, good job, mom? Really. And if you ever have doubts about how God feels about you or where God is with you, for me, it was my relationship. I think Brian, Mr. Brian, it's like, when you're mad at your children, do you love them less? No. Do you like them less? Maybe like a little.
Maybe 10%.
But I never loved them less. Well, man, it's nothing that my children could do. Just like it's nothing that you could do to separate yourself from the love of God.
That part right there.
We go through these things in life and it's rough. Life is rough.
Yes, it is.
It is rough. But let me tell you how, when you allow yourself to see the face of God, allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, to come into your life, it'll change. Amen. If you don't believe me, stay here for 6 months, your life will change.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And my life has changed. And the people around me, their lives have changed. We got retirements. We got apartments. We got new jobs. We got
Thank you.
You don't know the concept of
small and mighty is so real.
Yes, it is.
Because you don't have to be the biggest congregation. You just got to love the Lord.
Hey! Hey!